In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. She didn't fully understand why he had stayed behind or what he had said. But faith is not knowing. Faith is believing. And so this mother submitted her knowledge to her son. She trusted that her son knew what he was doing, even though she couldn't quite figure it out. He had to be among the house in the house of his father, among the things of his father. Not among swords or saws and boards, nails or hammers. Those were the things of Joseph. But he had to be where the Holy of Holies was once filled with his glory. He had to be by that altar of incense, for his risen flesh smells like incense as he constantly intercedes on our behalf. He had to be by the table of showbread, for his flesh is real food. He is the bread of life who has come down from heaven. He had to be by those candelabras, the menorahs, for he is the light of the world come to scatter the darkness of sin. He had to be by that great water basin, for he is his blood alone washes men clean from every stain of sin. He had to be among the priests. He had to be where the temple sacrifices were killed and burned on the altar. He was the fulfillment of all things, and though he was only 12 years old, he knew it. So no, Mary, his father never anxiously searches for him, for his father had sent him to this earth to accomplish his will. He had promised Solomon that he would fill that temple, and yet the priests were still able to work. Holy God came to his temple wrapped in the flesh of a 12-year-old. No fire terrified them, the earth did not shake, and the heavenly trumpets did not sound. He came to teach and to give answers. Holy God came to his temple so that he might instruct others in the kingdom of God, and so for a brief moment we see his epiphany, as his humility for a brief moment is laid aside, and he shows that he is God incarnate. Yet Mary and Joseph did not understand these things. Relieved as any mother would be after finding her son lost for 3 days, she rebukes him. She's a mixture of emotions, as any mother would be. And he mildly rebukes her. Not because she had lost him or left him behind, but because she did not know where he had to be. Yes, he was her son, but he had not come to this earth to fulfill her will or Joseph's. He had come to this earth to fulfill the will of his Father in heaven. Mary did not get it, but in faith she submitted to her son, even as he went home and submitted to them in all things. His time had not yet fully come to be revealed as God. Knowledge is not faith. Faith is not knowledge. Knowledge is a fruit of faith, even as our good works are fruits of faith. Faith is a matter of the heart and of the soul, while knowledge is the matter of our brains. But we Westerners like knowledge. Knowledge is power. We want a college degree so that way we can have a better job. The more we know, the better life we can have. And so we don't seek to punish those who have hurt our society. We seek to correct them, to teach them right from wrong, to impart knowledge with the hope that they may reform their ways. And then God does something which is completely contrary to our reason and knowledge, and we don't get it. Our life changes. We wonder why. Why would he somewhat stay behind when we are trying to advance our lives? Why would he give us such anxiety and stress? And so we are tempted to try to figure these things out by our knowledge and reason rather than submitting to him in faith. If he just told us what to do, we could fix this. So how many want to go to churches that tell them how to fix this or that problem, speaking to the brain rather than speaking to faith and to the heart? So God does allow things to happen in our lives to leave us completely helpless, to show us that we are not in complete control, but he is. And faith trusts that God knows what he is doing. Faith trusts that God is with them, even though they may not be able to figure out how. He does not leave or forsake his people. He does not follow us, we follow him. He does not submit to us or to our will, but we submit to his. So even when we can't figure out why he would allow this or that, we submit to him, knowing that his will is always best. Even when our reason screams out that this is a terrible thing to have to endure, we still submit. Faith still confesses that God will work out all things for our eternal good. He knows what he is doing. He knows why he stayed at that temple. He knew Mary would be anxiously searching for him, and yet he had to be about his father's work. It was his first Passover. He had to be there as Israel remembered God's great acts of deliverance. He had to be there as those lambs were chosen, perfect, spotless lambs. He had to eat the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, and the flesh of that lamb. He had to be there as the life of those little lambs streamed down those blood-stained altars, pooling on the ground below. For the life of a creature is in its blood, and blood atones for sin. But the blood of those sheep and those lambs could not atone for sin. They could not save man from hell. So he had to be there, teaching and asking questions about the fulfillment of this lamb, whose sacrifice truly would open up heaven. But now was not his time. For a brief moment, he showed himself as God, but now was not his time to be revealed as the Lamb of God. Now was his time to live in submission and humility, submitting to his mother and guardian. He had to fulfill the law of God perfectly for us, because we as teenagers and young adults certainly have not. Never did he seek independence from his parents. Never did he talk back to them. But he lived in full submission to them because he knew that we needed to be saved even from our teenage years. And so that sword that pierced Mary's heart was pulled back as she is relieved to have found her son. She didn't fully understand why, but she trusted her son knew what he was doing, even though he was only 12. So 21 years later, he would enter for the temple for yet another Passover, this time not simply to remember the past, but to show himself as the fulfillment of all things. He had to be there as God chose this lamb, pure and spotless, amid shouts of Hosanna and songs of praise. He had to taste the bitterness of sin. He had to hang on the cross as his blood streamed from his blessed cross, pooling on the ground below. He had to be there, for the life of a creature is in its blood, and no one can save another man except God himself. This blood of holy God is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, and not only for ours, but for the whole world. And we are part of this world. And so this is our sacrifice. He knew what he was doing as he cried out. And so Mary knew exactly where to find him on that Friday, on a cross. And now that sword that was pulled back is thrust in deeply, twisted and turned, as a helpless mother beholds her little child, unable to help him in the least. She didn't fully understand these things, but he knew. He knew what he was doing. Who can fully understand his cross? His cross is an assault to our knowledge. It doesn't make sense. Here is your God hanging on a tree. Here is his greatest glory and honor and praise. He died. No one gets it. This is why he came. It doesn't make sense to our reason. We can't fully comprehend it. that he would die so that we Barabbases might go free, and die such a gruesome, horrific, agonizing, painful death at that. It doesn't make sense to us. But faith is not understanding. Faith is believing that he knew what he was doing for us. Faith is believing that that sacrifice is our only way into heaven. Faith is believing that he has made full, sure, and sufficient payment for our sins. So faith beholds him on his cross as the greatest picture of love, compassion, and mercy. How deep, how high, how wide is the love and grace of your God that he would go through all of that for you. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was gently carrying you into his heaven. But as the disciples lived in the moment, they did not fully understand it, even as we go through our various crosses and do not always fully understand why. They were anxious. They thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, and yet they had lost him in death. Those women knew where to find him. They had seen Joseph and Nicodemus work. They had seen the soldiers stationed. But on the third day, when they went to look for him, thanks be to God, they did not find him. He had risen. They knew he had spoken about this before, but faith is not knowledge. Now they believed the words of the angels, that truly he was alive, and they ran to tell his disciples, and Jesus himself now met them on the way to teach them. Oh, how their hearts burned within them as those Emmaus disciples walked and Christ opened the scriptures to them. He taught them that he was the fulfillment of the temple and the Passover. He taught them that he had to suffer and die first before he entered his glory. And then he showed them where he would now be present, no longer among the temple or those things, but he'd be found among the things of God. And so he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, then disappeared from their sight. Here is where this holy God is now present for you. Here are now the things of God, his word and his blessed sacraments. It doesn't make sense to our reason. It looks very simple and ordinary, but we live by faith, not by sight. We live by his words, not by ours. We follow him, not conforming him to us. He has not left you. He has not gone somewhere where you can never find him, but he once again comes to you in a holy meal. He has not left you. Perhaps like a frustrated mother, you have threatened to leave him behind if he doesn't do what you want. But he remains firm and steadfast. He continues to come to you in bread and wine. He will not change. He knows what he is doing, even as we cannot figure out how or why this sacrament is our salvation. We submit to his will, not ours. He knows what he is doing when he allows anxieties and stress in our life. He knows he's driving us back to himself, to his presence in word and sacrament, so that we might take and eat and be free from all worry and stress. Maybe not immediately, but is this not the feast that grants us heaven and cures our bodies and souls? He knows what he is doing when he pokes us with a sword. He's driving us back to his word, to his sacraments, to this blessed meal where he mends our hearts forever. He always knows what he is doing, whether he is a 12-year-old boy or our incarnate, coronated God. He is saving us. That is what he is always doing, saving us through the means that he has established. It doesn't always make sense the way he goes about it, but faith is not knowledge. And so in faith, we submit our reason and intellect to his word. We live by what he has told us, not by what we expect him to be. And so you are properly prepared to receive your Lord yet again, not because you have passed a test or you know so much about Christianity, but faith. He who is properly prepared is the one who believes these words. given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Here are the things of God. Here is the house of God. He still knows what he is doing. He is giving you your salvation. He is mending your body and your soul, making you perfect in every way. He's bringing you home to heaven. In faith we submit, even as in faith Mary submitted to her 12-year-old son. In faith we submit to the maker of heaven and earth, our beloved Savior. For truly he does know what is best for us. And truly he will always do what is best for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.